Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's been one of those days, just been a struggle. Everything's been a struggle today. Not feeling good. Dave Bradley came by and brought me some coffee, and I was laid out on my couch. I was embarrassed. Not that bad. But I just have not felt good, and everything's just been a struggle, and it's been hard to study and everything else. And I was even, Lord, if you want me to do something, go a different direction tonight, Lord, I will. It's just, I don't care what you do, God, you just do it. And then I got an email from one of our followers, one of our watchers online, and I told him that I'd be talking about tonight. And I'll show you what came into his email in here in a little bit. And what I'm going to tell you tonight as we read 2 Peter chapter 2 is that the false prophets are out there, and there is a battle going on in this world. There's a battle going on for the minds of people in this country. And you can say, well, yeah, the music and the entertainments of this world are drawing people away. That stuff's easy to spot, okay? It's easy for me to look at guys like Ozzy Osbourne and Michael Jackson and say, that ain't right. Okay, that's easy. For most people, that should be easy. Okay? But then, when you read Genesis chapter 3, you find out that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And the serpent never advertises his coming. He never advertises his purpose. You don't even hear him creeping up on you. And that's what's something to keep in mind that Jude said concerning the false prophets. He said, certain men crept in unawares. And that word, I think, God laid this Bible out right. When we have that word creep, those things that creep in, you don't hear roaches walking into your house. Okay? They crept in. And you don't even know you have them. Until Lisa hollers through the house, Mike, there's a roach! Kill it! Okay. And this just stand, the roach is just standing there, not doing anything. I don't see what the big deal is. But anyway. But you don't hear the roach come in. You don't hear the mouse coming in your house. You don't, wasps don't announce their presence until it's too late. I went upstairs, was. I felt some. I forgot to do that. I was going to upload the Bible study today, and I forgot to do it. But I was up in that room up there doing the rendering of it, and all of a sudden, boom, this wasp just flew right by my face. Okay? False teachers and false prophets will creep in. They have to. Because were they to show up with exactly what they believe right up front, you would never fall for it. Okay? And that is... that is sort of like the, I guess, the one of the identifying marks. But it's hard to identify them that way because they don't identify themselves immediately. And I'm going to show you that here in a little bit. I've got examples I'm going to put up on the screen for you. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. They're going to be talking about Jesus and God and using those names. Who privily... that's what we're going to look at tonight. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, I'm going to show you something tonight that it just is going to be the epitome of it. And it's something that probably I would almost put money on the table down and ask you if you've ever heard of this group before. And I would say probably you haven't heard of them before. Okay? But I happen to know one person who is in, when I say my family, I'm talking about like an aunt or something like that. I know one person in my family that is a member of this particular, I'm going to call it a cult because that's what it is. And but other than that one person, I don't think I know of anybody. It's a relatively small one, but it doesn't take a whole lot. And they're reaching out and they're trying to get people and they're trying to bring disciples in. A guy sent me an email. And this is why this came up to me tonight, is that they privily shall bring in damnable heresies, and denied the Lord that bought them. The damnable heresies part is, we're not just talking about what was the difference between the Southern Baptist and the Free Will Baptist and the American Baptist. We're not talking about like that. We're not talking about differences between what the Assembly of God believe versus what that. We're not talking about things like that. We're talking about doctrinal ideas that are so far off base from the Word of God that those who, number one, the heresies themselves, those who came up with those heresies are damned. Okay, in every sense of the word, they went to hell. Those who believe them, because in believing them, you have to deny the written Word of God in order to do it. And they'll show you how to do it. They will show you, if you allow them, if you'll yield your mind to them, they will show you how you can be looking at this Bible and not believe what it says, but believe what they say. That's how they do it. They twist your mind, they pull it around, they send you all this stuff, they get you hooked into Bible studies, and they've got to do that. They cannot approach you with exactly what they believe up front because they know for a fact you'll never fall for it. There's a good chance you'll never do it. So they never approach you right away with exactly what they believe. Here is here's what was sent to me, and I'll show you what's up on the screen. This guy got an email and from this organization, and it had a link to this web address. You pull it up, and it says, "Learn to read the Bible effectively." That sounds good, doesn't it? Yes, I want to learn to read the Bible effectively. The phrase here, "Do you find the Bible hard to understand?" Well, practically most people are going to say, "Yeah, I find the Bible hard to understand." So they say, "Find out how the Bible explains itself in an informative, free 10-week seminar. Our next seminar is in Ventura County, and it gives all the places here that you can go to the seminar, Thousand Oaks Inn." They're not even going to bring you to their where they meet. I'm going to take you to a meeting room, okay? And it's free seminars. And when he sent it to me, I looked at it and I'm going, I wonder who this is. You just kind of get a sense. This just doesn't sound right to me. It's got a Bible on it, so it must be good, right? They're just going to teach you how to read the Bible, give you a free seminar. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, it's probably not a bad idea just to have a little seminar for people to have them come in and show them how to read the Bible. And then I went to looking at the speaker. I looked all through this particular website here. I looked all through it, and it did not identify who the organization was that was putting this seminar on. And I'm going, that's odd. That, to me, just kind of says something right there. So I had to look at the particular speakers, and they had about four on here, and I'm not going to show you who they are. But what I did was I Googled their name and just kind of used some search things that I know how to do, and I found these speakers. I found what organization they were linked into. Who in here has ever heard of the Christadelphians? See, I should have put money down on it. You've never heard of the group called the Christadelphians. Never. Well, there are not very many of them worldwide. Okay, they call the Christadelphia worldwide, but there are not very many of them. But this is what came across tonight, and I will tell you that by and large, this is how a lot of false doctrine is being taught. They're not going to tell you who they are and what they believe. All they want you to do is to come to the free seminar, to register and come to the free seminar, and they're going to spend 10 lessons on teaching you. They say they're going to teach you how to read the Bible. When the Bible says when a man's saved, you need not that anybody teach you. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. You can read that Bible, and the Holy Ghost will show you things from the Bible and will teach you things that you need to know. But here's what they do. They're going to teach you how not to believe what you see in your Bible. That's what they're going to teach you. Let me give you some examples of this. So this is their main website now. And so I went to their website to look at what they believe. Right across the top there, you see Jesus is a man, not God. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2 says they shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying who? The Lord. That box right here is where it is. Let me read this to you. We believe that the Bible is quite clear in its presentation that Christ is a man, the Son of God, but certainly not God himself. Now, here's what I don't understand. How you read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, it says it right there, that the Word, Jesus Christ, is God. The bulk of mainstream Christianity has staked its life on the assertion that Jesus is God. However, this is to be rejected for the following inescapable reasons and many more. And then they give you all this stuff that God is one and Jesus died and God is immortal, so God can't die, so therefore Jesus was not God. And they give you that stuff like that. And let me tell you something, if you don't know your Bible, and you'd be surprised at the number of people who sit in churches who don't know their Bible. I worked for a lady when I was in Bible college. I worked for a lady at a little t-shirt printing shop there in Oklahoma City. She was a Jehovah's Witness. And I tried one day to talk to her, and she said, stop. She said, if you want to talk about religion, we'll talk about religion. Don't try to convert me. She said, I was a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher for 20 years. And I found out they were wrong and they were lying to me. And she converted to be a Jehovah's Witness. Sat in a Southern Baptist church for 20 years and taught Sunday school and didn't know enough of the Bible and did not have the living Word on the inside of her. That's how she went over to that stuff. They went and got her. They twisted her mind with a bunch of false stuff and a bunch of stuff that's not even in the Bible. They twisted her mind around and converted her to that stuff. I don't know where she is right now. That was, my goodness, that was a long time ago. But that's how they do it. They deny the Lord. These people deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And they give these little points and they said, then we've got a complete document on this thing here. All you got to do now, watch this now. All you got to do is read our document. You read our document and our founder's books. If you read our founder's books, then you're going to get the real scoop on the real story. They're not telling you to read your Bible to find out what's really true or not. They don't want you doing that. They want you to read the Bible in their light or in their context or in their framework. That's how they do it. But they will not tell you. I've looked on their website. They're not telling you, if you don't believe us, read your Bible. That's not what they said. Then they have another piece on here about what their version of salvation is right. Let me read this to you. Under the section of baptism, the Christadelphians believe that baptism is the outward sign of a repentant and contrite heart of a person convicted of their sinfulness and desiring redemption. Listen to this now. We believe that through baptism, you participate symbolically in the sacrifice and resurrection of Christ and thereby attain forgiveness of sins. What does that mean to you? What did you just hear? If we don't baptize you, you are not going to heaven. You're not forgiven of your sins. That's what that is right there. And I'm just telling you, and I'm going to get to this a little bit later on, probably not tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. If the grace that they preach is not free without the works and without the rituals and without the water, and all, if their grace is not free, it's not grace, it's works. And it's a damnable heresy. You're telling yourself, they're telling you that if you perform this work in our water under our supervision, then you will be forgiven of your sins. And that's what they just said. We believe that through baptism you participate symbolically in the sacrifice and resurrection of Christ and thereby attain forgiveness of sins. We do not believe that baptism is optional. If you are not baptized by them, you are not going to heaven. So the two things here that Peter said. Number one, they deny the Lord because they refuse to believe that He's God. Number two, they deny the Lord that bought them. The Lord bought you. He did the work. He paid the price. He went through the water. He did those things for you and He bought you. You didn't buy yourself. That's what they're trying to tell you. Can I hear you say amen? And I'm telling you, I'm just kind of out of sorts today. I don't know, maybe I should just stay at home. But I'm just telling you, those that creep in are all around us. And they will never present immediately up front what their main doctrine is and how it differs from what you read in your Bible. They can't. Or because they're thinking they might know something from Sunday school from 40 years ago and say, now wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. According to what little I know about the Bible, that doesn't sound right. Then they know that not they cannot approach you that way. They have to come in secretly, privately, without you knowing what they stand for and what they believe, just so they can get you to the place that they want you to be. Old Grant Winehouse gave me this tape years ago. This was the church that he initially got converted in. It was the United Pentecostal Church here in town. The United Pentecostal Church differs from a lot of other Pentecostal groups in that, number one, they do not believe in the Godhead. By the way, neither do the Christadelphians. That's another thing you look for. What do they believe about the Godhead? What do they believe about the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? And I was looking at there. Number one, they deny that Jesus is God. They say he was just a man, even though he was the Son of God. They even deny the Holy Spirit. They say the Holy Spirit really, in a lot of places, is just another term for the mind of God. So they're denying those things. So you look at what they believe about the Godhead. If they believe that God is three and yet God is one, that's not too bad. Okay? Do you understand everything there is to understand about the Godhead?
I don't.
Now let me tell you something else too to watch for. Watch for any group trying to give you a complete understanding of the Godhead. Why do I say that? It is hard for us to grasp. That verse says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Well, it just said there's three. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are... Now, in mathematics, that doesn't quite work. Amen? You don't have to go through college algebra to understand that three is not one. But that's what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So how do you believe that? You just do. You just believe it. And here's what I've seen. I've read a lot of things from a lot of different people. Watch out. I'm not saying they're all wrong. Watch out for someone trying to wrap your head around their explanation of the Godhead. Because there's a lot of ways that that can go wrong and you'll never know it. Okay? Just keep it simple. If the Bible says they're three and they're one, what do you believe? It's that simple. Don't let anybody make it any harder than that. Where was I going with this? Anyway, should have stayed in bed. I wasn't even in bed. But anyway, they're gonna bring in these false doctrines, bring in these false ideas, and they're gonna bring them in privily. They're gonna bring them in quietly, and you won't even know. I was going somewhere with that, and it was really good too. I don't remember what it was. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 11. We might as well go to the scripture. All right. Lord, help me remember that. That was pretty good. I thought it was. Maybe God said, no, Mike, don't go there. I did this one time. I'm not kidding you. I wrote out a sermon one time, and I liked it. And I had a part in the middle of it. It's when I was used to write them down on paper. And I had a part in the middle of it that I wanted to make sure that everybody heard me say it. And I circled it and drew big arrows on my paper to this little piece of the sermon. Well, I came here that Sunday morning and I started preaching that sermon. I mean, God got in that thing and God, I was just preaching all over the place and people were just, I mean, it was just good what God was doing and got done. And we just had a good church service. Got done, dismissed everybody. I went back to pick my notes up and I went, oh, I forgot to read that. And I wanted to say, everybody come back. Get back in here. I wasn't done. And I sat down for a while and I thought, you know, Lord, I don't know what it is, but apparently you didn't think what I wrote was as impressive as I thought it was. And that's why you made me not see it on the paper. So I've just kind of learned, we'll just leave it up to God. Amen. Psalm chapter 11, verse 2. This is how the word privily is used in your scriptures. Okay. What you'll see is a conspiracy. You will see a conspiracy. Psalm 11, 2. I remember the story now. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string. that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Who in here has been bow hunting for deer season? Jared, how far in advance do you let the deer know that you're standing in a tree and you have the arrow drawn back and you're ready to shoot? How far in advance do you give the deer?
Nothing.
Nothing. He does not know anything until the arrow either misses him or pierces through his heart. He does not know anything. That's your enemy, people. You don't know where he's coming from, but he is coming. He is coming after you. He's coming after your family. He's coming after our churches. He's coming after this whole nation. And he does not announce his coming. The enemy does not tell you that they're coming before they come. It's only CNN that does that. Amen? They want to report where all of our soldiers are. That's nonsense. Amen. That's crazy. But anyway, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. They're aiming for your uprightness. They're aiming for your heart. They're aiming for your faith. If you do not have a shield that the Bible calls faith, you will be destroyed by their false doctrine. You're not smarter than anybody else in this world, whether you think so or not. You're not smarter than that. The only thing that's going to protect you from their reasoning, their logic, their books, their documents, their little seminars they put on, the only thing that's going to protect you is when you say, you know what, you said that, and you know, my brain says that that kind of makes sense, but I know what my King James Authorized 1611 Bible says, and my Bible says that that's wrong. And when my Bible says that that's wrong, I have to believe what my Bible says, because when I go stand before God, he's not going to ask me questions on whether or not I gave in to what you were saying. He's going to ask me, did you believe what I said? Did you believe my word? Did you believe every word of God is pure? Is that what you believe? That's what you're going to be judged on, people. Don't let anybody put you under condemnation because you don't listen to them or you didn't believe what they said. Don't let anybody do that. But anyway, here's what Grant told me. He of course, he went over there and they teach work salvation in that you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved or to show you're saved. That is a works-based gospel. And if you don't speak the tongues, you don't have salvation. Now, here's what they'll do. They'll get you over there, and if you go down and say, yeah, well, I want Jesus in my heart, and I said, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They will take you, and if you don't immediately start coming out with tongues, they will take you and they will work you up in a frenzy with their little rituals. They will get, he said, Mike, what they did to me was, he said, they had me say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And they had said, say it faster, 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 faster. He said, they had me going in a vain repetition until this nonsense came out of my mouth. And then they went, oh, he got the Holy Ghost. He spoke in tongues. They even excuse it, John. They say, we got to prime the pump. The Holy Ghost is not a pump. But he said, that's how they did it. He brought me a cassette tape. He said, Mike, listen to this. He said, this is how they work. He realized not too long after that, that wasn't right. He said, listen to this tape. And it was a cassette tape on how they go from door to door bringing people into their church. They go and they train people. And this was a training cassette for their people. They have them go out in teams with a clipboard and a pen and a question and answer sheet. So John comes to the door. John says, yeah, can I help you? Yes, sir. Me and my wife, Lisa, we're from such and such church here. And what we're doing is, you don't have to let us in, but we're just doing a quick, we have a little questionnaire. We're doing a survey of what people in this area believe. We'd like to have the information on what people in this area believe. Can I ask you some questions about what you believe? Yeah, I guess. Go ahead. Okay, do you believe in God? And all this and that and the other. And they have this whole questionnaire that they're going to ask you. Okay? That's not why they're there. Because the guy said, don't get too involved with the questionnaire because you're not there to survey them and find out what they believe. You're there to set up a Bible study. Privily. They're there to creep in. Why can't you just knock on the door, say, sir, we're from Bethel Church over here in town. We're not going to stay if you don't want us to, but would you be interested in having a Bible study, or would you be interested in coming to our church on Wednesday night for a Bible study? That's all you got to do. Sir, that's fine. I understand that. Can I leave you with a track or a DVD? Be done. Quit lying. Quit lying. But their whole point was, we're going to go in under false pretenses. We're going to pretend that we're there to get a survey filled out because we need the information. But that's not why we're there. We're there to try to hook them into a Bible study. Now, why do they want them hooked into a Bible study? Why do they want them to go through the Bible study before they invite them to church? They have to get them in their mind two doctrines. Number one, there is no Godhead. Number two, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. They have to get them to consent. Because when they show up to that church and see what's going on, people swinging from the chandeliers and all this tongues and all this stuff going on all over the place, who in here has ever been in one of those churches and you're just going, it's not for me. Get me out of here. This place is crazy. They have got to get you consented into it. So they're going to take a Bible and they're going to say, now right here, 1 John 5:7, turn there. In the beginning, for there are three that bear record of heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. We're here to tell you that verse should not belong in your Bible. We're here to tell you that somebody added that verse 1,000 years after Jesus came along, and that should have never been in the Bible anywhere. We're here to tell you that what you can read in your Bible is not really the truth. You have to get the truth from us. Here's our books. Here's our questionnaires. Here's our little pamphlets that you read. And if you think you can go along with that, we'd like to have you in our church. That's what they're there to do. But they never will tell people, Rhonda, go home and read your Bible. Don't tell them that. They don't say, will you promise that you'll read your Bible every day for a week? And if you got any questions, call us. They're not going to do that. We have to come to your house and tell you that your Bible's not right. That's how it's done. They're not going to tell you that they've got an arrow drawn at your heart. And they're going to privily come into you and try to destroy you. Psalm 31 verse 4. Turn there. Psalm 31 verse 4. I'll give you a personal story about how this works. Psalm 31 verse 4. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Several years ago, when I was pastoring out of Richwoods, I've told Sterling this. I've been this way all my life. When I was pastoring out at Richwoods, I had to work full time. And really the only day that I had to study and get a sermon ready was on Saturday. And old habits are hard to break. And I'll be praying about it, think about it all week. But Saturday's the day that I really put together the Sunday sermon. Been doing it that way ever since. And I was sitting at home one Saturday afternoon. Lisa and Gloria was out shopping. She had the kids, so I had the house to myself. And I'm sitting there studying for my sermon. Writing it out, getting it all, get the notes and reading the scriptures and everything like that, and hear a knock on the door. So I get up and I spot these two people on my doorstep, and I'm pretty sure I know who they are. They're Jehovah's Witness. So I think I'm ready for them. So they open the door and I get into a dialogue with them. And I said, well, how come you don't believe in hell? And I spotted some things about how they work, and I'm not going to get into all that. But they said that at the end, we just kept parlaying back and forth. And at the end, they said, here, will you take our literature from us? And I said, yes, I will take the literature. Because I'm thinking, I'm going to throw it in the trash, and that'll keep somebody else from getting it. Don't think that way. They're going to print millions more for the one that you took and threw away. They're going to print millions more. So I took the literature, and I sat down, and I thought, these guys ain't getting me with this stuff. I'm going to find out how they do this, and I'm going to... And I sat there and opened up their literature, and I started reading. And you know, I found out what they were doing. They found a bunch of liberal, quote-unquote, Christian scholars that did not believe that Jesus was God. They quoted them in their literature to make it look like your church doesn't really believe what you think it believes. And I read through the literature, and when I got done, I had doubts. Look at that verse again. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. I made the mistake of stepping in their net. And I looked through literature and I had doubts. And I closed it. The Holy Ghost is going, Mike, pray. So I closed the literature up and I got down on my knees and I said, God, you help my unbelief. I don't believe this. I've never believed this. But I've just read what they said. Their words are poison. And I stepped into the net. God, I need help getting out of this. God will help you. God will help you. But be careful, because you will step in the net. Okay? Just like old cowboy throwing that lasso out in front of me. I thought, I'm smarter than that. I'm not some dumb cow that's going to step in the loophole that he made. I didn't know that I didn't have to. I just had to walk by it. And he grabbed it and he had my leg out in the middle of the air like this. That was a long time ago. I'm smarter than that now. Yeah, amen. Let's see here. Let's go to Psalm 142. Turn there. Psalm 142. Verse 3. Then we're going to go to Galatians. So if you want to kind of flip over that way while we got time, let's do that. Psalm 142, verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. And I want you to look at that. When my spirit was overwhelmed with me, I was sitting there, and what they had written to me had overwhelmed me. It was overcoming me, and I said, I can't do this. Now, you grow and you mature as a Christian, and if I were to read it now, I'm more grounded, more stable, more settled. I could go, you know what, I believe the Bible. I have a shield of faith. Listen, I don't believe this garbage. This is junk. They're going to say this stuff, but I know what my Bible says, and I know that my Redeemer lives. Somebody say amen. So it gets better as time goes on. But here's why. Just read and study your Bible. Become familiar with your Bible. Become familiar with the words that are in your Bible. Become familiar with where things are in your Bible. Even if you can't say, well, this is in Job chapter 14, verse 8, or this is in 1 John chapter 5. If you can't say that, when you read the same old Bible day after day after day, you become familiar with where things are on the page. And you say, you know what, I can't remember what chapter and verse it is, but hang on a second. Here it is, right here. I got it. Made a note around it. Let me show you that. That's your shield. Now turn to Galatians chapter 2. Here's what Paul found out. In Galatians, boy, this is a big deal right here. Galatians was written to keep you from going after the false prophets. Galatians chapter 2, turn there. In Galatians chapter, I'm waiting for you to turn, and remember, I already told you to turn there, and you're already there. Let's read let's start at verse 1. In 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. 14 years Paul studied, he studied through Jesus Christ. Christ gave him revelations. Personal, one-on-one revelations was given to the Apostle Paul for 14 years. So when he emerges after 14 years after he was on the road to Damascus, he has his doctrine straight. He's ready to go. And he said, verse 2, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. And he said, look at verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares. There will be false brethren, and you will be unaware of it. That because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something? There's people listening to me preach every week who have no intention of believing a word I say. You know what they're doing? They're waiting to catch me in some kind of folly, or they're waiting to catch me in some kind of trap. I had a guy call me, this guy's nuts. His name's Martin Richling. I don't mind talking about him now. I ain't scared of him. He called me one day, he had made a video on me, and he called me the next day to apologize. And he apologized, he said, I know I shouldn't have said anything about you, and he said, I feel bad. He said, I heard you're a King James believer, and he said, I heard you preach that King James Bible good and straight, and he said, I probably shouldn't have said anything about you, and he said, I want to hear from you. And so we talked a little while. I didn't know that he was recording the conversation. But of course, he didn't know that I was too. But he said, I got something I want to run by you. He said, you check this out. And he said, I'll call you back later. And his whole deal was that he said prayer was a work and you don't pray to be saved. I'm just going, what? Every now and then I hear a new one and I'm just going, oh my goodness, you know. So I didn't have an answer for him right then. And he said, I'll get back with you sometime. I said, okay. So I got off the phone. 4 months later, I done forgot about it. 4 months later, he called. He said, yeah, you remember? I said, yeah, I remember you. And he's all nice and all this and that and the other. And he said, you remember? And I'm trying to remember what it was we was talking about. And I said, yeah, I kind of remember. And he said something. He went on real nice. And all of a sudden, bam, he said, and you said blankety, blankety, blank. And I said, I don't think I ever said that. He said, you liar. And I mean, he went nuts on me on the phone. Just crazy. You liar. You're a heretic. And he went nuts and he slammed the phone down. I was recording that one too. All he wanted was to try to catch me in a trap that he had laid. He laid that trap 4 months prior. And I'm telling you, there will be people who know you who will always try to lay a little trap for you. Oh, you really believe this? Well, how about this? They'll try to catch you in your own words, John. They'll try to mess with you and try to get you to backtrack on what you said. Okay? That's what they're going to do. So here's what happened. He said, the false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. That's their goal, people. They want to be the masters while you be the slave. They'll be the ones who tell you, if you don't do what we tell you to do, you will perish in eternal hellfire or you will perish in the grave. And that is exactly what we just read up on the screen, the Christadelphians. If you do not be baptized by us, you are not going to heaven. That's what they were getting at. They want to be in charge of your souls. They want to be the masters, and you be the little slave, and you do everything they tell you to do. And when you read more of the Bible and become familiar with false prophets and why they're doing it, there's several reasons. Number one, some of them want your money. Some of them want your money. And you read further, and you know what? You find out some of them want you in bed with them. That's what the Bible will teach you about why they do what they do. They want to control you and manipulate you so they can use you and make gain from you. Financially, physically, emotionally, or otherwise. That's why they're there. And so he said, verse 5, he said, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know what Paul said? They wanted to stand up and speak, and I wasn't going to have it. This is not a debate class. This is not, let's all get together and let's explore our faith. That's not what this is. Paul said, I'm the teacher, you're the students, and if you don't like that, there's the door. That's what he said. He said, but of these who seem to be somewhat, you see that phrase there? They seem to be somewhat. You know what that means? They thought they were really something. They had elevated themselves above it. That is the Nicolaitan doctrine. The Nico means to conquer. Laitane is the laity. That's the people sitting in the pews, Roy. That's me telling Roy, if you don't listen to me, if you don't get it from me, you won't get it. Because you didn't go to Bible college. You didn't learn Greek and Hebrew like I did. And if you don't hear it from me, you won't get it. And you'll probably fall off into some false doctrine. That's what that is. They elevate themselves above everybody else in the congregation. And here's my biggest problem with that. Why does the congregation let them get away with it? Why does the people sitting in the church houses across this land let their people lord over them and tell them what to believe when they can just read it right out of the book? Why is that? Do what? Spiritual laziness. He's nailed in it. Too lazy to read their Bible. You tell us what to believe. We'll put our trust in you and we'll let you lord over us. You be the Nico and we'll be the Laitanes and you conquer us. And you tell us what to do. And Paul said, but those who seem to be somewhat, whether they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. You got to read a long way before you get where Paul's going with that. And I don't see it right away. But anyway, here Paul, you read the rest of Galatians, you'll understand it. Paul said, I wasn't going to put up with it for a minute. God, I spent 14 years, Jesus telling me, we're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Let me show you how it looked in the law, Paul. Let me show you the types and the symbols, and let me show you what verses to go to, Paul. And Paul did that for 14 years, and he stood up on his own two feet, and he would not let those guys have place in that meeting. Now he's having to write a letter back to those churches. There was multiple churches there in Galatia. He was having to write a letter back to them, and he said, you guys let them come in after I left. And he said, now they spread this doctrine around that says you got to do a work in order to show that you're really saved. And he said, I'm telling you, look at chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? It's a form of witchcraft what they're trying to teach you, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Look at verse 2. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How do you get the Holy Spirit, Linda Carmichael? Believe the Bible. The hearing of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how you receive the Holy Spirit. But they'll tell you, oh no, I got to lay hands on you. You got to come and you've got to receive the anointing. Don't let me hit you. You know why? You know why? I had Tim Adair. I was teaching at his church, and Tim Adair is a preacher friend of mine. I was talking about stuff like this, and Tim was sitting there, and I was going to act like I was lay hands on him. Tim went, well, I mean, he did. Tim's got muscles. I mean, he's got meat. And I'm going, I wasn't going to do it. You know why he did that? The Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly. And you see these wackos going through the crowd going, wham, 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 wham. That's not right. It's not right. They'll tell you, you must receive what I have from me or you won't get it. How does your Bible say you receive it? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Rhonda, read your Bible. Rhonda came out of a church where they were telling her, you got to receive it, right? You got to let us impart it to you. We got to lay hands on it. That's why she's here. She sat over there and said, it doesn't sound right. I don't know that much, but it doesn't sound. You know why that was? Because you had the Spirit of God in you telling you, Rhonda, it's not right. It ain't right. Read your Bible, Rhonda. It ain't right. And now you know how you get the Holy Spirit. Hearing of faith. Amen? Stand to your feet. Listen, I hate every false way. I hate it. Because I get presented to me every week somebody's testimony, somebody sent me this. It doesn't look right. Can you help me? And I feel like I got to help them. And when I see how these people are coming in, I shake my head and I go, I hate that. Because I know they're trying to bring them into bondage. I don't like it. Makes me mad. Even when I don't feel good, makes me mad. Ask God for grace. Amen.